This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines on this Martin Luther King Day holiday. More on that in a moment, but we begin with the ongoing rescue effort in Haiti. A rescue and relief effort that's getting increasingly desperate by the day, as it's now been nearly a full week since the 7.0 magnitude earthquake shook the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince. Search and rescue teams continue to search and work feverishly to try and rescue those still trapped underneath the mountain of rubble. And while there have been countless deaths and many people affected and in desperate need of support, there are those good stories, those heartwarming stories coming out of Haiti, including this one, after more than a day of work.
It's a very wonderful night because we've worked almost 26 hours straight for those two survivors. Immediately now, we need to regroup, get everybody together, and start working some more for additional survivors that we're looking for.
That was a spokesman for the rescue effort in Haiti. Again, two people successfully rescued after 26 hours of work. It's painstaking work to dig through this rubble, almost brick by brick, literally having to pick it up so the rest of the structure doesn't collapse on those still trapped underneath. The political effort, of course, is in full swing, and it has been since the hours following the quake last week. The president has already commissioned former presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush to lead a massive private fundraising effort in order to bring even more relief to the stricken Caribbean island. George W. Bush was appearing on Meet the Press alongside President Clinton, and he was asked some of the challenges of getting supplies in place, a lesson he learned all too clearly in the Katrina disaster.
First of all, it takes time to get the supplies in place, but that shouldn't deter them. In other words, there's an expectation amongst people that things are going to happen quickly, and sometimes it's hard to make things happen quickly.
Right now, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is feeling that same frustration from those in Haiti. She says relief is on the way, but there are still some logistical challenges.
The aid is coming in. We're getting it out. There's just not enough of it yet because we don't yet have the kind of distribution networks, nor do we have the port open. So everything you see is either coming in by air, and the airport has one runway.
Mrs. Clinton was speaking with MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell. The big political story here at the beginning of the week is tomorrow's special Senate election in the state of Massachusetts. Two new polls out today, one from the left-leaning PPP organization, Progressive Policy Poll, which shows Republican Scott Brown with a five-point lead, 51-46, over Democratic nominee and Attorney General Martha Coakley. A pajamas media poll shows Brown up 51-42%, yet apparently the latest Coakley internal poll shows her up 2%. So, go figure. I guess it'll be up to the voters in the real poll to determine who will be the next senator from the state of Massachusetts. But depending upon the outcome, you could see some serious shenanigans here in Washington. Some sources here close to the Democratic Party suggest that if the Republican Brown wins the seat and the Democrats lose their filibuster-proof majority, President Obama will lean heavily on House Democrats to pass the Senate version of the bill as it is, without the amendments, without the union protections and so forth, so it never has to go back before the Senate, which wouldn't be able to get back to that 60-vote threshold. Also, we're hearing that there may be a delay tactic in counting the votes if it appears that Brown will win, and therefore not seating him until the revised version of the bill has gone through both the House and Senate. But Republicans are not taking that threat lying down. They say once the election has taken place, even if Massachusetts and the U.S. Senate refuses to seat Scott Brown, should he win, the interim senator, Paul Kirk, would no longer be the sitting senator. So, depending upon the outcome on Tuesday, we may see a couple of legal challenges before all is said and done in this race to fill the seat of the late Ted Kennedy. President Obama involving himself in a couple of major ways in this campaign. First of all, cutting a couple of television spots, but also on Sunday, appearing in person in Boston at Northeastern University to tell his fellow Bay State Democrats to get out the vote for Martha Coakley.
On Tuesday, you have the unique and special responsibility to fill the Senate seat that you sent Ted Kennedy to fill for nearly 47 years. And I am here to tell you that the person for that job is your Attorney General, Martha Coakley.
For her part, Martha Coakley stepped up and criticized her rival, Scott Brown, for opposing the president's call for banks to pay steep fees in order for the government to collect every penny that it shelled out in TARP funds to stabilize the financial industry in late 2008 and early 2009. Only one problem with that, however, of course, is that most of those banks have already paid back their debts in full, and it's the likes of General Motors, Chrysler, AIG, and others who have failed to pay back the money, yet it will be the banks socked with the fee to make the books balance. For his part, Scott Brown is going after Martha Coakley. He says that what was once a very positive and sunny campaign has gotten extremely negative now that this race has gotten very tight.
Not only are her ads negative, they're malicious. And how quickly the politics of hope have been replaced by the politics of desperation.
And of course, today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The slain civil rights leader would be 81 years old. This is a national day of service, as proclaimed by the White House, and has been for several years now. On Sunday, speaking at a predominantly black church in Washington, the president says some of his loftiest goals as commander-in-chief are yet unfulfilled.
On the heels of that victory over a year ago, there were some who suggested that somehow we had entered into a post-racial America. All those problems would be solved. There were those who argued that because I had spoke of a need for unity in this country, that our nation was somehow entering into a period of post-partisanship. That didn't work out so well.
On the interview front today, WorldNetDaily.com, Dateline.RadioAmerica.org, three interviews for you. One is Louisiana Congressman and practicing physician Bill Cassidy, who says it's the coalition of the bribe that are probably going to move forward this Democratic version of health care reform. But he says the main recourse of opponents now is the American people, and he says that's a recourse he will trust every time to do the right thing. We'll also hear from Texas Congressman John Carter, who has carefully gone over the Pentagon report on the Fort Hood terrorist attack from Major Nidal Malik Hassan, and he's trying to figure out why there's no mention of radical Islam in the summary of what happened there. We'll also be talking with David Johnson, pollster and longtime political strategist, about the race in Massachusetts. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.